Tanaka, back to Nonto. Oh, and Pirou's there! A hat-trick in less than 20 minutes! And everything Leeds United dreamed of last night has unfolded. Quite extraordinary. A team that wants this done and dusted here today.
Hello and welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley, and as ever, I'm joined by Ian Bilton.
Hello.
And Terry DeFellin.
Hello.
In the really busy part of the season now, isn't it? It's Easter weekend, traditionally one of the busiest weekends in football, but used to be very, very busy. Used to have three games on Easter weekend back in the day. That was all the way up to the 1960s. Yeah. Now, just one round of Premier League games on the Easter weekend. Not so the EFL. The EFL know how to keep things going. They've got two rounds of fixtures going on there. And it's still going on at the moment. I was recording this early evening on Monday. Burnley and Sheffield United are battling it out. It's 1-1 in the first half there. And if Burnley get that result, then that's all over for the automatic promotion for this season. It'll be Leeds and Burnley with Sheffield United having to go through the playoffs. But hey, football being football and the championship being the championship, Jan, we can't assume anything, can we? Well, apart from the stuff that is mathematically assured anyway. We can assume that, can't we?
Actually, Burnley, just as you were talking there, actually went 2-1 up. So they clearly got the advantage going into the second half there. So I think that is more or less sewn up. And Sheffield United, it's fair to say, I think shot themselves in the foot over the last couple of weeks. But it's an interesting fact going into this round of fixtures in the championship, that any team in the championship could either go up or go down going into the fixtures on Friday, which is mental at this stage of the season. Me and my son were talking about it in the car, and we were like, no, that's not true. And then him being much better at maths than me went through it, and I was driving. And indeed it was. Yeah, so Burnley going to sew it up along with Leeds. And it's going to make for a very interesting playoff scenario with Sheffield United, Sunderland, Bristol City, and Coventry as it stands. Middlesbrough lost today. I mean, having my club in there and having Bristol City, who we lost to this weekend, and Sheffield United, who are very strong in there as well, and Frank Lampard's Coventry in there as well, that is a really slippery set of fixtures. So I'm not looking forward to that at all, in fact.
Well, they did their best today of making it extra, extra exciting, because Sunderland, Bristol City, Coventry and Middlesbrough all lost. So now, Millwall are back in the chase, and possibly even Blackburn are back in the chase now. So, two rounds of fixtures to go. It's all very exciting, isn't it, Terry?
Yeah, it's super exciting. I've got a fuzzy feeling about Frank Lampard's Coventry, don't you guys?
Yeah.
It feels like the momentum is there with them. I mean, it just feels like the football gods are ready to readmit Frank Lampard back into the Premier League through Frank Lampard's Coventry City. It's very, very exciting, you know, with all apologies to Jan and Sunderland. But again, Jan, as you've said, you don't want Sunderland to go up. And I don't blame you, because newly promoted Premier League sides get a right old kicking these days. So, you know, it's a season of misery.
Yeah, it really is. And I think Graham and I went through the various permutations a couple of weeks ago, and I arrived at the conclusion that I really don't want to see Sunderland go through what Southampton have gone through this season, and Leicester, and indeed Ipswich. So, I'm happy to stay down in the Championship, and it's mad, mad ways.
Okay. Well, let's say it's Leeds, Burnley and Coventry, just for the sake of argument, those three that go up. Can we have a little prediction as to what month Daniel Farke's getting fired? I'm going to go October.
Oh, you've gone quite late.
Yeah. The October international break.
I think he'll probably hold on till about November, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was probably going to say November, December. And I think that it won't be so much international break. It'll be thinking about winter transfer window.
Yeah.
My assumption is that I mean, Leeds have got some money now these days, yeah, and that they're going to probably look to spend a bit of money in the summer to see how if Daniel Farke gets on. And then if he messes it up, then they're going to spend a lot of money in the winter for whoever the other guy is that they've got by that point. And I think that they will plunge the Red Bull talent pool and fish out the next Jurgen Klopp. Maybe it'll be Marco Rosa. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? We'd like to see that. That'd be marvellous.
It's going to be Ralph Rangnick, isn't it?
Don't say that. Don't say things like that. But yeah, because Leeds, when they are back in the Premier League, there's all the anti-Leeds rhetoric will come out because, of course, Leeds, and like lots of people don't like Leeds. And fair enough, they have done a lot in their time for people to not like them. But their association with Red Bull, I think, will become more apparent and more problematic. And particularly when it comes to that first time when Jurgen Klopp is sitting there in the executive boxes watching Leeds as global head of everything for Red Bull. That's going to be an interesting one, possibly for the Liverpool game. These are the narratives I'm actually interested in. Football I can give or take.
That's an interesting narrative, unless, of course, he is the manager of Real Madrid next season.
Unless, of course, he is the manager of Real Madrid next season. If that is something that Real Madrid genuinely want to happen, then there's a very good chance that it might happen. We will see. We don't know how, to what extent Jurgen is tied to Red Bull, and indeed how, to what extent he wants to continue working as a coach. Is he genuinely exhausted? Is it one of these things where he goes, I'm exhausted, I can't work another day, and then he takes a few months off and goes, I need to get back to work? In which case, then, obviously, when do you say no to Real Madrid?
Exactly. Just to pick on the point you were making there about the Red Bull association at Leeds United becoming more apparent, because obviously there was more than a few eyebrows raised that Red Bull's involvement at Leipzig, and obviously they're classed as not a real club by some commentators on this very podcast, in fact. Do you think that there'll be the same level of disdain with Leeds because of their involvement with Red Bull? Because Leeds are a proper club, whereas you've said in the past that Leipzig weren't. So just to get your thoughts on that.
I don't expect Red Bull to take over Leeds in the way that they took over, say, Salzburg, which might be perhaps a more relevant comparison. Austria Salzburg were totally a football club before Red Bull took them over and then just like changed them to Red Bull Salzburg and changed their colours and everything like that. I don't believe that would happen at Leeds. It's a minority stake to begin with, but also I just suspect that even if they were allowed to, and I would imagine they're probably not allowed to, I think they probably would consider it to be a bit of a dick move, even by their standards, to do something like that. And also, I'm not convinced that English fan bases are as engaged on such matters as they are in other parts of Europe, particularly in Germany and Austria. So I don't think that it's going to be massively controversial, but I think it is something that people will become aware of the longer Leeds stay in the Premier League. And I would imagine that the more that the Red Bull machine takes over Leeds, the better the likelihood is that Leeds will make their Premier League status stick this time, because they are very good at running football clubs, the Red Bull machine. It's very, very good at doing it. Even a club like Leeds, which is an absolute basket case and a bin fire.
And on the English frame of reference, a company that makes fizzy drinks is pretty benign compared to who runs the other clubs in our league. Well, let's go back to their global head of everything, Jurgen Klopp, Terry. I mean, were you surprised to see his name linked with Real Madrid?
No, I wasn't surprised because, I mean, I was only managing last season. And he's at an age now where I think people feel that he could still manage. His predecessor is older. And people do say they're going to retire and do something else, and then they change their mind. And oftentimes they do it very, very quickly. So it's not out of the question at all. But I think it would have to be somebody like Real Madrid. I don't think that he would go to any other football club apart from Real Madrid. And the only other job that he might take might be the German national team job. But of course, that position is sewn up for the time being. So if he is going to come back into work, then it will be Real Madrid. But I do wonder whether or not maybe they've got a different person in mind for that role.
Well, someone who's actually got a job in the Bundesliga at the moment.
Yeah, a current Bundesliga coach rather than a former Bundesliga coach. We're dancing around it. Xabi Alonso.
Yes.
I was reading an article on ESPN Plus just before coming in here, and the chief executive, Fernando Correa of Bayer Leverkusen, said that they have a gentleman's agreement with Xabi Alonso that if a former club comes in to recruit him, they will, in his words, sit down.
Right.
So I would suggest that if that is indeed what's happening, and if that is Perez's first choice, then I think there's a good chance that will happen and that he will leave via Leverkusen to go to Real Madrid. And I feel he's probably ready. And it does look like they need a bit of a reinvention there. They need a bit of a retooling, maybe some squad changes and a change of direction. So a new coach, perhaps a younger coach with different ideas, might be a good time for him to come in. And he certainly is, as an ex-player, knows his way around the club and would have the respect of the fans and the players, you would think.
Now that the season has almost come to an end, what's been the considered opinion on Alonso in Germany, considering the way how he ran away with everything last season? And of course, it was never going to be as easy this campaign. A lot of his best players went, obviously. But has this been more of a test for him this season? And if so, does the media in Germany think he's passed that test?
I certainly don't think anybody is surprised that Bayern are back winning the Bundesliga again.
Sure.
It's perfectly understandable that after having such an amazing season, an almost perfect season, winning two trophies, very nearly winning a third, for a club that became synonymous with failing to win stuff, to then win almost everything, to then to follow it up the following season with a second place finish, I think is actually pretty decent. But, well, I mean, there might have been some question marks about his European credentials, were it not for the fact that they almost won the Europa League last season. But also, they got knocked out of the Champions League by another Bundesliga club, by Bayern Munich. And so I feel that maybe there's a bit of added narrative to that that kind of almost gives them a bit of a pass, gives him a bit of a pass. If he'd been knocked out by a non-German club, then there might have some question marks over his credentials. But I don't think anybody doubts that he's a proper manager. He's an excellent manager, and with the right players and the right club, he will continue to be an excellent manager. I didn't think Leverkusen would win the title again. I'm not surprised that I thought Bayern Munich would do it, because I just wasn't certain that Leverkusen would have the energy to be able to go on after such an amazing full-on season to do it again. I was surprised that they finished second, actually. I was pleasantly surprised for them from that point of view. I thought they might even finish outside the top five. But I think for me, that demonstrates why Xabi Alonso is the real deal, because to get a club to be able to recover from that and still be able to put in a decent shift, all right, it's 4 weeks to go, Bayern need a point, and they're the champions. So it's still quite early, but nevertheless, they've pushed them fairly far and have had a good season. So to answer your question, I think that consensus is that Xabi Alonso is a quality manager.
Well, of course, Jan, Carlo Ancelotti is still in post, despite the fake news that you've been peddling around on our WhatsApp group.
Yeah, I saw that and I thought, wow, then I went, where are my updates? I thought, when does Jan know something about Spanish football before me? That doesn't happen. It turns out that didn't happen. Did it, Jan?
Did it?
Well, he's expected to leave the club at the end of the season, isn't he? That's the news that came pumping through on my phone. So he hadn't been sacked there and then. It's just, for those listening, our WhatsApp group, when someone is sacked, we post vacancy at X club. So it suggests that it's happened there and then, which in most cases it has. So I just used the same phraseology we've been using for a decade to describe the change in leadership at Real Madrid, which is still going to happen. We know it's going to happen. So I will not be lectured on that by you, Mr. De Felon.
Well, I would say, it's fine. It's fine, Jan. I'm not here to lecture you. All I would ask, however, is that protocol is not to use the vacancy at X club until there is a vacancy at X club, until that's been officially confirmed.
Mm.
You know, and I mean, there was no comunicado official coming from Real Madrid, so therefore it didn't happen. That's all I would say. Let's not fight over it, Yanis. I'm just, you know.
Listeners, we've been using this for so long that when we started using it, it used to come along with a little picture of Tim Sherwood looking happy because there was a job he could go for. We don't do that anymore. maybe because we can't be bothered to add the image on it every time. But coming this close to the end of the season, Jan obviously wanted the scoop and it fooled me. I went and did a search for it. So it's a roundabout sort of do your own clickbait, isn't it, really? That's what Jan's doing here, isn't it?
Well, this is it. Yeah, yes, is it. I mean, we'll just have to remember that next time Jan sort of like says something, you know. You know, we'll just have to be absolutely certain. We'll just check sources before, you know, responding to that. But, you know, it's fine. You know, I'm not making a big deal out of it. I'm making a big deal out of it.
You are. Well, let's discuss, because Jan is right. He is meant to be going at the end of the season. That's been no official communicado about that as well, but it is meant to be happening that he's going at the end of the season. When that actually happens, though, does that happen before or after the Club World Cup? Because I reckon Real are going for the Club World Cup. I think they like the look of this. And if they've got to go out to Arsenal, of all people, in the European Cup, then they're going to go for the Club World Cup and say, this is what you wanted all along. So is he sticking around for that, or are they getting Xabi Alonso in for that? That seems awfully quick if they're going to try and do that. What do you reckon, yeah?
It is going to be quick because the Club World Cup starts in the middle of June, doesn't it? So it doesn't give them long to get Alonso in. I think what's important for the Club World Cup is that just Real Madrid are there.
Yeah.
And the chances are they'd probably walk away with it anyway. So I think they'll probably be fine with the caretaker and that. If you're a Real Madrid fan, do you really care if you win the Club World Cup, having won everything across every year? I mean, not necessarily this year, but a bit tin pot, isn't it?
Well, Jan, are you talking about, are you a Real Madrid fan who lives in the back streets of Madrid, or are you a Real Madrid fan who has never been to a football game in your life?
Hello, because there's only two types, aren't there? But I suppose if you are the former, I don't think you'll probably care, would you?
No, probably
but if,
not.
You know, if you're somebody who lives in Jakarta,
yes,
then you're probably massively into the Club World Cup.
That's what it's there for, isn't it? For the globalisation of football, isn't it? And a global club like Real Madrid, who prides itself on winning international tournaments, I think they're going to go all in for it. But who knows? Who knows? What do you think, Terry?
I agree. I think Real Madrid will identify that as a tournament that they want to win. Beyond the thing else, the purse is generous to win it. Just switching tack quickly, if Dortmund don't qualify for the Champions League, then they would look at the Club World Cup as an opportunity to make up for some of the shortfall in income that they will lose for not being in the Champions League for the sake of playing three or four matches quite well and maybe getting relatively deep. I feel that all of those clubs, by the time they get to the Club World Cup, will start to think, actually, you know what, while we're here, we may as well have a go at this, lads. And I certainly think that the Real Madrid will like the idea of being the inaugural new Club World Cup winners. I think that that's the kind of stuff that they get off on. And for what I think, Ancelotti will go with some ceremony and gratitude at the end of the season. And I suspect that they will look to make a replacement appointment as quickly as possible. But we will see whether that's in time for the Club World Cup. I don't know. Otherwise, it might have to be, the under-23 coach or the under-19 coach.
Yeah, I mean, for Dortmund, $50 million, that's certainly going to help it if they don't get back into the Champions League. But who knows what $50 million will be worth by the end of the summer. So swings and roundabouts, isn't it, I suppose?
There's probably a $50 million leaving the US tax that has to be paid. Are there any Chinese clubs in this competition? Because if there are, there's definitely a $50 million leaving the US tax.
Yeah, you'd think a seasoned football podcaster like me would know who is going to the Club World Cup. But this is the measure of how little I care that I have to type it into Wikipedia just to see who's there. Now, the Asian representatives are... No, there's no Chinese representation there. You've got Al Hilal from Saudi Arabia. You've got Al Ain from the Emirates. You've got Urawa Red Diamonds from Japan and Ulsan from South Korea.
All right then. So they don't have to worry about that. That's not a problem. That's not going to be remotely awkward.
Not at all. No. But still not watching it. Yeah, another week's gone by and still no one's picked it up in the UK.
Is that right?
Yeah, BBC and ITV have taken a hard pass on it. Because to be fair, they've got the Euros. So they're like, well, Euros.
Yeah.
On this. So they're trying to get Channel 4 and Channel 5 to buy it. Just imagine the people at Channel 5 are going, money? You want money? Interesting. Interesting. You want money. And then it's the World Cup after next season, isn't it? In America land.
Yes.
And Canada and Mexico, yeah.
That's if the borders are still open between those countries.
Well, yeah, I was just thinking, it's an interesting time.
It might be
time.
All one country, Graham.
It will be.
All borders are open.
Do you think Canada will still get in like the same way that England and Scotland are two separate teams when that happens?
That's a possibility. Yeah, I mean, all of this is obviously questions for the diplomats afterwards. But, you know, I mean, unless, of course, yeah, Canada and the United States are merged as a single team. But let's not dig too deeply into historical precedents of those things, because it all get a little bit distasteful. But yeah, I'm only joking, obviously, American listeners, US listeners, we're only joking. Are we joking? I don't know.
Maybe. Canadian listeners are now throwing their phones at walls now, jumping off trains.
Let's move swiftly on. So Ancelotti is going to go off somewhere, maybe replaced by Xabi Alonso, maybe replaced before the Club World Cup, maybe after, but it may not be Xabi Alonso at all, maybe Jurgen Klopp. But hey, we're not going to try and predict that, because we've got a whole summer to look forward to all that nonsense. But there are players who we do know are moving or staying put. Two players who are staying put are two players who we mentioned in our Christmas advent calendar behind door 23. There were three names at Liverpool that we thought, well, are they staying or going? Because they hadn't signed new contracts. And now we come to within a month to the end of the season, and they have. So Mo Salah and Virgil van Dijk have both agreed new contracts to stay at Liverpool. Mo Salah's 2 years, and I think Virgil's is the same. So they're going to be sticking around while Liverpool are champions. But Trent Alexander-Arnold, well, it's not, that's not confirmed. That's the one thing that isn't confirmed. But all the noises, especially after he scored the winning goal the other night, seem to be about the fact that he's going and off in the summer, likely going to Real Madrid, probably after the Club World Cup, just so we don't open up that conversation or can of worms again. And City, there's going to be some movement there, because Kevin De Bruyne is leaving in the summer. And where he's going, we don't know, but maybe we can have a chat about that now. Lads, first, let's talk about the guys at Liverpool. Now, we talked quite a lot about Trent earlier on this season, and it was all seemed pretty clear that Real want him, and having a look at the way Real defended in the two legs against Arsenal, they really do need some defenders and actually do need some deep attacking players as well. So that's fine. Let's put that one to bed. What do you think about Salah and Van Dijk staying? Terry?
Of the three, those two are probably the more essential ones. It is kind of unimaginable, I think, at this point to think that either of those players would not be playing for Liverpool. Because Salah would probably go to Saudi Arabia next.
Mm.
And I think that there's a strong pull for him to go to Saudi Arabia. I think that that would be an attractive move for him. But obviously, his preference was to remain as long as the conditions were right and he got the right contract, which they've obviously been able to sort out. So they left it a bit of a while. And you wonder whether or not Liverpool were wondering what a world would be like without Mo Salah. But I think they probably made the right call there. He certainly scores a lot of goals. That is the main criteria. Virgil as captain. Yeah, Virgil van Dijk is a tough guy to replace. And I feel that really what you should be doing with a guy like that is you should be sunsetting his career at Liverpool, really, rather than just like moving him on. And so it looks like that's where things are going.
I think that's a really good summary, actually. I think van Dijk, it feels like he is Mr. Liverpool. But so is Salah as well. He's had a cracking season again. And I think it would be wrong for a player of that quality and that ability to go out when he's still at the height of his powers, to go out to somewhere like Saudi Arabia, I mean to say, when he's still at the height of his powers. I think that would be an awful waste of a real talent. So I share your point there, Terry, on the fact that it seems like they've left it a little bit late, which brings me on to Trent. I mean, we've got not even a handful of games left for him this season. And, you know, he celebrated with his goal yesterday against Leicester, and everyone's reading into it because he ripped his shirt off and then failed to do a proper knee slide. I don't think that meant anything other than he was quite pleased that he'd scored a goal. But if they're going to keep him, this is like 11th hour now, isn't it? They're going to agree a deal with him. And maybe his representatives are just playing it tough. And, you know, he's from the area. He's played for Liverpool his entire career. Why would he not want to finish his career there? So, you know, we don't know what's going on behind closed doors. But he's 26 years old. He's won everything it's possible to win with Liverpool. So why wouldn't he go off and see what he can do elsewhere? Just in terms of the player he could become if he went to another club, if he went to Madrid, the sky's the limit with him. So I think it'd be good for him personally to go. And as we've said before, it'd be good to see him in that side.
The whole thing of Salah staying, I mean, you can't argue against it considering the season he's had at Liverpool, being the top scorer in the Premier League. And he could still be at this in 2 years' time. It just seems to be very strange about how the timing of it, why wasn't this signed earlier? And the same with Virgil van Dijk. And they've held out for so long. Now, as an Arsenal fan, I know we had so many years of losing players for nothing at the end of their contract. And then all of a sudden we started handing out big contracts to players like Mesut Ozil or Aubameyang. Handing out big contracts to those guys rather than letting them go for free was actually turned out to be huge mistakes. We ended up having to pay off their contracts. So I'm not too sure about how well it's going to work out. I hope it does work out. I hope they both have 2 seasons where they're gently eased out of the side and probably end up not to retirement, maybe so with Virgil van Dijk, or maybe he'll have one last season back in the Eredivisie. With Salah, I think, yeah, maybe he gets his dream of going to Saudi and being able to commute from Egypt.
It's a hell of a risk they took, though, isn't it? Because those players could have, after Christmas, gone, it doesn't look like we're going to get the deal that we want. I don't want to get injured. And with Liverpool they were on a charge on all fronts, weren't they, at that time? They really took a risk and they've kind of got away with it. Or have they? Had they sorted this out at Christmas time, would they still be in the FA Cup? Would they still be in the Champions League? I mean, you don't know. But it seems strange that you got 3 players of that quality at the height of their powers and you're not locking them down to new contracts. Really strange.
There was speculation that deals had been agreed and that they weren't publicising it because of the pressure it would have put anyone who hadn't agreed. So in hindsight, it looks like they knew that Trent was going. And if Trent was the one that was out of the three that was the only one that wasn't going to be staying, then there would be pressure on him from the fans and other people, external forces, that would have unbalanced the team. So I think behind closed doors, this is just theories that were put about by former players of the clubs when they were asked about the situation. So they may actually know something about how the club actually works internally. So maybe that's what it was. But I think we said at the time that even though all three of them could go, it was likely that at least one of them would stay. And I think they've done perhaps a good bit of business here to retain two of them. And as you say, let Trent go because he's the one who's got his career ahead of him. And I think perhaps if he had been allowed to stay, then if things hadn't worked out so great next season, or if they got a guy in there that was challenging him for a space, then he may think, well, I've made a big mistake signing a big extension here. But yeah, you're right. The age he is, this is his big contract, isn't it? This is the one where you set yourself up forever, isn't it? Whereas for the other guys, this is just a bonus for them, isn't it, really, to stay at Liverpool, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. If it is how we think it's going to be, then I think it's a terrific move for Trent Alexander-Arnold. It will be tough, though. There is the other thing. Yes, he is a Liverpool native, and there will be pushback from the Liverpool fans. And there's been stories in the past about, you know, Liverpool legends, you know, players, you know, leaving clubs, trying to leave clubs, failing to leave clubs, leave Liverpool because of outside pressure. And maybe they're trying to manage that as well by way leaving this until, you know, late in the day. I wouldn't be at all surprised if they know what's happening. I'm not saying it's a done deal, but if they know that this is what's likely to happen, that Trent is going to go to Spain, and they're just basically waiting for an appropriate moment to tell why. And that moment may well be the final game of the season. It might well be that Liverpool lift the title and also very quietly say farewell to Trent. While they're all celebrating the Premier League win, then Trent can pick up a bunch of flowers and wave goodbye to everybody as he makes his way off to Madrid, which might be an elegant way of doing things.
So what about Kevin De Bruyne leaving City? Looks like City can't afford to lose someone like Kevin De Bruyne at the moment, can they? Or is it just the fact that, look, once all their players are back, you'll hardly miss him?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, apparently it wasn't his decision. Some journalists, maybe they're in the know, or maybe they're reading between the lines, I don't know, but saying he's not very happy about it. But he's had a few injuries of late, so we haven't seen the best of him this season. But again, another player I think that can still do it. There's talk of him going to the MLS, to Chicago Fire, I think I heard someone saying the other day. But there's every chance he could hang around in the Premier League, and there are teams that are after him. I even heard Liverpool being mentioned, but whether that turns up, I don't know. But it'd be strange, won't it, seeing Kevin De Bruyne playing for, if it does work out, playing for another Premier League club, but like Frank Lampard suddenly going to America and turning up in Manchester. But, he's a legend for City. He's an incredibly good player. I think he still is a good player. And going to no disrespect to the MLS, I wouldn't chuck them in the same category as the Saudi League, but it is a lesser league compared to the European League. So I think that's fair to say.
Yes.
But I think that De Bruyne could still do a job in England. He could still do a job. He could do a job anywhere, couldn't he? He's a quality player, and he remains to be so.
Yeah. Could make a return to the Bundesliga, couldn't he?
Werder Bremen could use him. He could go back to Werder. That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Probably not going to happen, though, is it? 33 years old. He hasn't had that much of an impact this season. But, yeah, he has been injured. And when he gets injured, he can be gone for a while. I'm assuming that that's probably why City have got that, is that they're wondering whether or not they're getting absolute value from him. He'll be on for a lot of money. The MLS talk was the initial reaction. Then subsequently, he has said publicly, yeah, no, I'm open-minded. I mean, I could play in the Premier League again, no bother. And yeah, if you're being kind of shot out of a cannon by your club, then why should you owe them any loyalty? I mean, if they don't want you anymore, then yeah, fuck it. I want to play in the Premier League. I'll play for another club. Why not? So we'll see what that looks like. It's going to be Spurs, isn't it? The danger is he could end up being a statement vanity signing from another Premier League club that maybe doesn't have a plan for him.
Yeah,
it would be good for him to go to a football club where they said, look, Kevin, this is what we want you to do. This is how you want me to do it. This is where we see you in the squad and how it all lines up. We've got a plan for you. Or whether or not it's, Kevin, I can't play for Spurs, mate. You'll be grand, that kind of. then that would worry me ever so slightly. But I think there's every chance that he could stay in the Premier League because that's still the best league and it's still the highest paid of the best leagues. There are higher paid leagues out there now. He could make more money maybe at Inter Miami, maybe. He could definitely make more money in Saudi. But yeah, there's trade-offs to playing in those leagues. So, if he wants to come and stay and play football and play high-level football and maybe compete for trophies, then yeah, Europe beckons for Kevin De Bruyne.
I wonder, I mean, I know how much he is appreciated here in England, but I wonder if he's got that global cachet, like we've said before about players that have to go at some point to Real Madrid. And I know Rodri got the Ballon d'Or, but De Bruyne hasn't won that while he's been at City. And I just wonder if he's got that sort of like £1 million a week contract in Saudi Arabia waiting for him. Or is it just not the fact that although he's one of the best players of his generation, whether or not his time at being limited at City has really just measured it not as well as it would be, say, if he'd been at Real Madrid?
Yes. Short answer.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. City, obviously a huge club with lots and lots of money, but they're not as popular a football club as say, Real Madrid or Barcelona or Liverpool or Manchester United.
Yeah.
They're not right top tier, internationally, globally successful fan bases in every corner of the planet. That's not where City are. Maybe one day they will be. But I think that explains why he's not quite up there. He isn't seen as being he should be regarded as one of the greatest players ever lived.
Mm.
But I think, yeah, the fact that he opted to play for take part in the Man City project has been hugely successful for him. But yeah, maybe hasn't quite tipped him over the edge into total international stardom. And that's the trade-off that he took. And he was well paid for it. And he's been successful.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if he went to one of those clubs that you mentioned there, Terry. Maybe not Real Madrid. Well, why not? I mean, he's an incredibly gifted player. If he can stay injury free, why would you not want him in your side? I agree that maybe he left it late to join one of the, the elite clubs for his own profile. But I don't think he's going to go off and do something kind of middling. I think he can still do it at the highest level. And I think he could go to a really big club.
I think with the right coach, yeah.
Yeah. I think we looked at Real Madrid last week. It looked like what they were missing was a player like Toni Kroos. If you think, well, maybe if we can just get one season out of Kevin De Bruyne just to try and gel the attacking talent we've got. Oh, yeah, we've got Jude Bellingham there, but wouldn't that be able to free Jude out? Who knows?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. His ability to play balls from deep as a playmaker.
Yeah.
And at Real Madrid, you feel they probably look after him.
Yeah.
I think they've managed him maybe in a way that maybe he hasn't been managed at Manchester City.
Yeah.
So it's definitely not off the table. I don't think he should be looking. He shouldn't be thinking retirement league at this point.
Well, he's 6 years younger than Modric, isn't he? So
they may end up ruining that decision, Manchester City.
Oh, it could come back to haunt them, could it?
On a European field sometime in March.
Yeah, could be even 2 years from now.
Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows? But what football will we be watching this weekend, I wonder? Well, the football we will be watching this weekend, Terry and I at least, actually will be in another country because we're going to be going to Stockholm for the weekend. And we're going to be going to see AIK, which I'm sure it's not pronounced that way, but that's how I've always read it. And they're going to be playing Elfsborg. But also, while we're out there, Terry, it's going to be the Palace FA Cup semi-final. You won't be missing it. We'll find a sports bar somewhere in the middle of Stockholm to watch it. But are you glad to be out of the country for the stress of this semi-final?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I mean, I don't think I would have probably been able to have got along myself anyway. So I was probably going to watch it on television anyway. We're out there where there's a group of us. Three of us are Crystal Palace fans, so I shall be in good company and we'll watch that. And yeah, see what unfolds. It's very difficult to know what's going to happen there. Villa are a very, very good side in very good form and now are unfettered by Champions League concerns. And that worries me. But then I am a pessimistic Crystal Palace fan, and we're about to get destroyed by Arsenal tomorrow as you're listening to this, listeners, so who knows what state we're going to be in when we rock up at Wembley on Sunday. But yeah, I'm going to remain pessimistic about our chances. But this is also because, as you may remember, I will be on a ferry on my way to the Shetland Islands during the FA Cup final, so obviously Palace are going to win.
Obviously, obviously.
Because I won't be where to watch it. Or even, I might not even have a signal to be able to watch it. Wouldn't that be great? I'll be watching it on CFAX on my phone.
Well, yeah, and who will Palace be playing in that final when Terry is on the ferry out to the Shetland Islands? Is it going to be City or is it going to be Forest?
I think it's going to be City. Forest have hit a bit of a blip in their form. They've dropped out of the top five.
Yeah.
I just think it's coming at the wrong time for them. I'd far prefer to see Forest continue to, you know, reestablish themselves as a proper top flight club. But I just think that it's just come at the wrong time for them. And I think that City will do them because he's pretty good at winning trophies, isn't he, Pep? And, you know, they've had a disappointing season by any, but they're very high standards. So it's going to be really tough to stop them from winning the FA Cup.
Yeah,
if it's going to be Palace, it needs to be Forest. Because if it's City, then Kevin De Bruyne is just going to murder us. Because he routinely murders us. Ever since we kicked the shit out of him that time during that 0-0 draw. And he's had it in for us. And yeah, I think he'll absolutely murder us if it's that. So it has to be City, Forest. So it has to be Forest, Palace, me on a boat, and Palace will win. And that's it. That's stick that on your coupon, listeners.
Well, there you have it. There you have it. There's nothing more needs to be said. So if you want to see what we think of those games and five others that we're going to pick and put in our weekend box set, then get along to sofpodcast.com and click on the link for the weekend box set and subscribe. And it will be in your inbox on Friday. On Friday, probably on Thursday, actually, because we're flying off to Stockholm on Friday. So probably get it in nice and early. Hopefully so, anyway. But that's all we have time for this week. So from me, Graham Sibley, from Jan Bilton, and from Terry DeFellin, it's goodbye.
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 Get in touch with us on Blue Sky or Instagram, where we are at Sound of Football, or go to sofpodcast.com. Like us, share us, rate us and review us. Do it now!
when we arrived at the hotel, we stayed at an easy hotel. And the moment we got out there, we walked up the road. And what did we find? A Spoons. Went into the Spoons. And I said, look, do you know what, gents? I'm going to exercise a bit of bladder control here. And I'm not going to drink any beer because I want to be able to make certain that I've got a healthy bladder for 2.5 hours of snooker. Because if you get up and leave to go out for a piss, they're not letting you back in until the next frame. And you don't want to miss anything. You've got one session. It's, you know. So I said, I'm going to have the wine. So sure enough, everyone's bought into this. So I get a bottle of Pinot and it's £12.
That's almost, it's like they make you do it, Terry.
It's £12. It's practically giving it away.
Pint of wine.
So we drank four of the bottles between us before we got into the snooker.
Right.
Before we got to the Pizza Express, which is where we were getting to get some food, plus another bottle of wine, and then into the snooker where we had some wine, and then we went for the interval and had some wine, and then we went out back to the Spoons and had some more wine.
So sounds like a wholesome afternoon.
It was super wholesome. And in the morning, we went and got some breakfast. And I'll give you one guess as to where we went to get our breakfast.
Wasn't Spoons by any chance, was it?
It was.